From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. Community-based recycling centers, where you can turn in bottles and cans and make a few bucks in the process, are shutting down across California. Over the past decade, more than half have closed, leaving only 1,300 statewide. But why are these centers closing? What's the impact on the environment? And what's happening with the millions of dollars in unclaimed deposit charges on bottles and cans that consumers are still paying? To answer those questions and sort through this recycling story, we're joined by Scott Rodd, an investigative reporter at KPBS in San Diego. Scott previously worked right here at CAP Radio. Scott, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Chris, and it's great to be back on Insight.
So of all the topics to dig into, Scott, why did you start looking into California's recycling system?
Well, recycling is such an essential thing in California as, you know, a system, but also as a set of values. I mean, most people in California, if you would ask them, they would say recycling is important to them. They want to see materials be reused if at all possible, to have a second, third, and fourth life, and maybe beyond that. So there's kind of a everyday concern that impacts recycling, but also there's big consequences both socially and environmentally and financially. So there are a lot of different angles to look at. I started by looking at recycling centers declining, and just from background coverage that I had done at the state capitol previously, I knew that recycling centers were on the decline. And it was the type of thing that once you start looking, you find more and more things. The more stones you turn over, the more interesting, eye-popping things come out.
Well, let's talk about those recycling centers. I know we're going to get into the bottle deposit program that's also at the center of this, but why are those centers closing, the community-based ones?
So there are a number of reasons why a recycling center may close down. One reason that CalRecycle, which is the state department that oversees recycling, one reason they gave is financial pressures. It seems like that's the big one. The amount of money that recyclers get for scrap material after things have been recycled often fluctuates, and the prices can go up, they can go down, and that has a big impact on how much money they're able to bring in for those raw materials. There's also the issue of the pandemic had an impact on a number of recyclers, as it did on many other businesses. But when you're depending on people to bring in recycling, if they're not able to make it there, or if people are concerned about getting to recyclers, that has an impact on their business. There's also a shift that's happened in recent years where more manufacturers are using plastic bottles, which in California, they do a good job of recycling. The problem is those plastic materials don't bring in as much scrap value for recyclers. So they're not using aluminum cans as much, for example, which that scrap aluminum brings a lot more money in. And there's also the issue of social pressures. I spoke to one recycler here in San Diego who accepted bottle deposits for years up until last year. And they said they curbed that program. They decided to opt out of it, because they were getting a lot of complaints from neighbors about people, often unhoused people, coming through to drop off their recycling. They tried to work with the city, they tried to work with the neighborhood on those complaints, but ultimately they just couldn't come to an agreement. So there's a lot of different pressures impacting recycling centers right now.
Let's give our audience a little bit of background on that bottle deposit program. When was it created and why?
California's bottle bill, as it's called, was passed in the late 80s. And essentially, when you go to the store and you buy a can of soda or another beverage, you pay a nickel or a dime if it's a larger container, and now potentially 25 cents if it's a very big container. And that, you know, spare change isn't a fee. It's supposed to be a deposit. And the idea is it creates an incentive for people to return those bottles and cans, and then you get that deposit back. And it is a strong incentive. And if there are outlets for people to bring their recycling, people will do it. And the challenge, though, is that if people don't return those bottles and cans, that money piles up in a fund that's managed by the state.
And that is a topic I definitely want to ask you about, the money piling up. But before we get to that, the bottle deposit, I mean, that that's been pretty successful, at least in the past, as sort of persuading people to go and actually bring in bottles and cans, and led to a high percentage of recycling in California?
It is a strong incentive, but it takes a couple components. That idea of getting back those nickels and dimes, which can add up, but also making sure that people really have a place to go and recycle. So in the between the early 2000s and to about 2012, the number of recycling centers in California shot up. It increased pretty substantially. And as a result, the recycling rate also increased. So the state has a goal of 80% recycling rate, which means essentially every 8 out of 10 bottles are recycled. And during that first decade of the 21st century, the recycling rate jumped from 55% roughly to over 80%. So they achieved that goal. And it was because of the deposit program, but also there were enough places for people to go and return those bottles and cans. But as the number of recycling centers have dropped off in recent years, so has the recycling rate. During the pandemic, it dipped below 70%, and then it's rebounded slightly since then to about 70, 71%, but still below that target, which means money, again, is piling up in this fund. It's not getting back to the consumers.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking with KPBS investigative reporter Scott Rodd about the impact of closing recycling centers around California. You know, Scott, you talked about the money that's piling up. If there are fewer recycling centers, people just aren't claiming those deposits. So how much unclaimed money is out there?
So the most recent number that I was able to confirm was $820 million as of last year sitting in this fund.
Wow.
And it's a little tricky because, you know, the state budget, there are multiple numbers reported in different places, and the state has to reconcile numbers from different years. So it can get a little tricky. It's something that advocates have been raising concerns about, because it's really important to know how much money is in this fund. And again, so as of last year, the State Department of Finance just recently confirmed that it was $820 million, a lot of money. And compared to about a decade ago, there was just over $200 million. So it's increased substantially. And that money that's sitting in that fund, it does have a purpose. The system is built anticipating that there will be some unclaimed funds, and that money is supposed to go towards reinvesting back into the recycling system, improving options for people to bring their recycled materials back to. And then also it pays for some administrative costs at CalRecycle, the state department that oversees the recycling system. But the amount of money that's going unclaimed is far outpacing those investments. So you have a lot of advocates saying, okay, there's all this money that's piling up. We need to have a plan to reinvest it back into the recycling system, you know, get it back to a place where we can have that 80% recycling rate and ensure that we are finding second and third lives for these bottles and cans, because not only does it have a financial impact, but those unrecycled bottles and cans, at best case, are winding up in a landfill, which is not good, or winding up on the sides of roads, in parks, or in the ocean.
Now, Scott, your investigation found that that money, or at least not all of it, is being reinvested back into the recycling system. What other uses have state lawmakers gone about, you know, using this money for?
This was definitely a surprising aspect of this investigation. Over the years, the state has borrowed money from this fund to plug holes in the general fund and in the budget when money is tight, when they have lean budget years. And I should state up front that this is legal under state law. Both the Department of Finance and the State Comptroller's Office made that clear. But it does raise questions, and advocates have criticized this practice because they feel if there's money being siphoned off, it can undermine potentially the purpose of this fund. And we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars in terms of longer-term loans in the last couple decades, and up in the billions when it comes to short-term loans. So this is a fund that the state often turns to for cash management purposes. They'll pull hundreds of millions of dollars out at a time to plug holes in the budget, and they'll be repaid in the course of days or months. But again, it raises concerns among advocates who say, look, we shouldn't be going to this, you know, as a kind of honeypot when we need some money to plug holes in the budget. We really should be coming up with a well-designed long-term plan for reinvesting the money back in the recycling system.
And Scott, we've only got about a moment or so left, but I'm wondering, how did state officials respond to your investigation? And is there any effort to sort of stop the borrowing and make sure this money goes to where it was intended to go, which is the state's recycling system?
So earlier this year, there was some concern raised about the borrowing. There was a $100 million loan taken out of the fund last year, and then a proposed $125 million loan that would have happened in the coming fiscal year. And after the criticism and concern raised by some lawmakers, the Department of Finance said, look, we've repaid the $100 million and we're going to nix the future loan as well. So it's come under scrutiny. And it's partly because there was a bill passed a couple of years ago, and it's set to really kick into gear starting next year that will take some of that money, a lot of that money, and put it towards new and novel recycling concepts, such as mobile recycling centers, where they bounce around to different spots around a community, reverse vending machines, where you would go and drop your bottles and cans in and be able to get that deposit back. So sort of, you know, recycling centers that don't have a lot of personnel, but you could still go to, and it offers convenience. And there were some other suggestions as well as to how this money can be put back in the recycling system. So they want to make sure that, you know, that money is there when they make this big push next year and in the coming years to try to reinvigorate the recycling system.
Well, we will be following your reporting and seeing if they actually do follow through on what they said they're going to do as far as that money, that fund, that money that's piling up from these bottle deposits. Scott, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Scott Rodd is an investigative reporter at KPBS. We've been talking about his recent investigation into the financial impact of closing recycling centers across California. Up next, we're listening to some of the best episodes of Cap Radio's award-winning podcast, This Is What It Feels Like. We'll hear a story about finding joy and purpose from a woman who lived well into her 100s. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Chris Nichols.